All right. Y'all, I sound kind of like y'all ready for fried chicken and for me to be quiet. I want to encourage you this. I want to encourage you to go to the website, Dianya. I want to encourage you to go to our podcast and pull up our sermons if you're not doing that. But one in particular last week dealt with subject matter. It doesn't get dealt with a lot, bitterness, because bitterness lies in roots. That's why the Bible calls it a root of bitterness. And roots are hidden. You see the plant, but you don't see the roots. And I gave you the story of David and Bathsheba and that whole story. I mean, we covered chapters. We covered about probably a 30-chapter span of Scripture. But to find out that thing that happened with David's great sin against Bathsheba and how David's advisor, Ahithophel, the guy who was like the voice of the Lord to David, how that guy ended up going from giving godly wisdom and godly advice to David, it turned, something changed, something turned in him, and it went from wanting to give the king advice to rule a kingdom to wanting to kill a king and replace a king with his son, Absalom. Ahithophel jumped ship. And we discovered why. It was not easy to find, was it? It was hidden in there the whole time, but there was a root. The root was the lineage. You remember that show? I think it was in the 80s that came out, Alex Haley. It was, if I'm saying that right, it was Roots. You remember Roots? It was lineage. It was things that had happened back in history since our family started. As far as we can go, we took it all the way back to the roots. That's what that show was about. And you wonder why some of these lineages in the Old Testament, you get into the first chapter of Matthew and you see the first thing the New Testament starts off with lineage, because it's important. But there's something in there that helps me, even into Jesus' lineage. You realize how it's just littered with some bad people, right? So everything that happened before I got here, even the things that could have left down a curse to me, can be broken through Jesus. Amen? And I'm thankful for that, and I know that you are too. But we understood through that lineage, it took exposing who the lineage was, and we think, oh, that's we read through that like that's boring. That's who cares that they begat him, and who, what does that even mean? Well, we found out last week it meant something, didn't we? And those that heard last week said, amen. It meant something. Why Ahithophel hated David was right there in his lineage. When we found out when David should have been away with the kings in springtime of the year, he should have been away at war, but he was at home. He wasn't where he should have been, lesson number one. But he looked down and he saw Bathsheba, and she was beautiful. And in good old southern vernacular, David basically said, "Who dat?" Because in those days, the king could have anything he wanted. And you may think it belonged to you, but it actually belonged to the king. And David took possession of something he saw that he wanted. He even acquired. He said, who is she? Find out who she is. It was Bathsheba, son of Eliam, son of Ahithophel. It was Bathsheba, wife of Eliam, son of Ahithophel. And what we discovered, all that hatred came from Ahithophel, who was David's advisor, his chief advisor, sounded like the voice of God. Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And that's what jacked everything up. And he went to hating David. And I made that whole point to help you understand this. There are some lines that you need to recognize. And there are some lines do not need to be crossed. And when those lines are crossed, there's still an expectation from God. Ahithophel's problem was that he could hear from God for anybody else, but Ahithophel couldn't hear from God about Ahithophel. Be careful that you don't get, because this comes from a religious spirit where you can tell everybody else where they need to be, but you can't hear where you need to be. I'm just saying. So all of that is to bring us to this place, because what we want is to have vengeance. What we want to do is make people pay. What we want to do is you hurt me, I won't hurt you back. That's human nature. I've been talking to you guys about offense, and I've been talking to you about bitterness. Please go back and listen to that message, because you're not going to be able to go to a real place of worshiping God if you're holding on to bitterness. You're fooling yourself. And everybody's got a story. And I'm not saying that your story is not valid, because I gave you one of the strongest references to have bitterness if bitterness was what you were going to have. I brought my own granddaughter in here and used her as my example. This is my granddaughter. I'll fight for my granddaughter. I even gave you a little example. It's like, if somebody messes with your family, if somebody messes with your grandchild, if somebody messes with my granddaughter, what's the first thing you're going to do? Like, if they mess with my granddaughter to a point to bring harm to her, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to call 811. And they said, don't you mean you're going to call 911? I said, no, 811. Somebody about to dig a hole. That was funny last week. I wore that one out, didn't I? But y'all get what I mean. So there are lines of possible offense. And then I taught you this, that offense was the doorway to bitterness. It laid the groundwork for bitterness. All the groundwork was laid in the offense. And now that we're at bitterness, bitterness is a root, and the Bible said to not have a root of bitterness. It said, because a root of bitterness would spring forth. You remember that? And we found out that the root of bitterness, the way it said spring forth, that actually meant that it shot forth. It's like it happened very quickly, and it was a stubborn root, and it was not easily moved. And it said that it defiled many. And we found that we're many. We're many. My definition in the Bible is I am one of many. That Christ is the head of the body, and we're many that are in the body. And it said that bitterness defiles many. There are a lot of people that are defiled by bitterness. And bitterness, that defilement was a stain. We talked about that. That defilement was a stain that you couldn't get out. We talked about it's his blood that can wash that thing as white as snow. It's the only way out of it. So you're not going to be able to talk yourself out of bitterness. You're not going to be able to read a book about bitterness and get healed unless you're reading this holy word of God. But this whole thing was to say, hey, it's very possible for that to be me. He said offenses will come, but it could be me. So what I've got to protect against is the root. We call it the root that shoots. Is that root that happens so quickly. If we let it get to that point, if offense comes, And understand this bitterness is waiting right there to attach itself. And then once that's attached, now you got to deal with a very strong, stubborn root. So I just wanted to look real quick at Mark chapter 4. And he's talking about the parable of the sower and the seeds. And it said this. Jesus, chapter 4, verse 1 of Mark. He began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, it withered. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Verse 7, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. Now, he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." And his disciples are right there listening to this whole thing, and they're hearing it, and everybody else is hearing it. And the disciples are like this. They got Jesus off to himself and said, "Oh, explain that. Explain what you just said." And he told them this. He said, "If you don't get this parable, how will you get any other of my parables?" That makes it foundational. Jesus said this: if you don't get this, if you don't understand this, how will you understand anything else I've said to you? And he's telling them something that there is a seed of the word that goes out, and the soil is your heart. And the enemy immediately tries to steal any word you get. You'll find that happen this morning. You're getting word. You're getting his word. You're getting his seed. It's trying to make it into your heart, but already the enemy is perched and taking dives at the word. It's amazing how that the enemy works like that. Starts, your mind will be wandering. You'll be off in some other place. But understand this. If that word goes forth, it's meant to get in your soil and to take root in there. And out of that, something be produced that gives him glory. Out of your soil, out of your heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. Your issues are in your heart, and you've got to guard your heart so that your issues don't jump out. The truth is this: you can talk to somebody, you can meet somebody, and within minutes you'll find out what's in their heart. Because it says the issues spring out of their heart. Blah. You ever feel like I had a conversation with somebody, they just threw up all over you? And it meant a lot to them. It didn't mean much to you, but it meant a lot to them. Because it was in their heart. Have you ever been around somebody that when they spoke, their words like, "I'm not used to hearing that. That's amazing that's coming out of them." They're saying that they've been through something, but what came out of them, wow, that came out of you? You understand that's where the seed hit the good soil. And out of that horrible situation, what they're saying is not like throwing up on you. It's like, "Ooh, this is lifting me up. This is powerful. I want to be, I want that. I want what you got inside of you," right? Amen? That's happened. Both of those things have happened. Can you say both of those things have happened? Somebody said, and I'm like, "Ugh." But somebody else talked, and I'm like, "Yeah, let's talk about that. Tell me more about that." You ever had some conversations you're like, I'm sorry, I got to go. How do I get out of this? Somebody text me. Let an Amber Alert, anything, I'll take it. You know that Amber Alert, brrr, I mean, that thing will wake you up. That thing will wake you up. And you're like, if that happens, I'll be like, that's my car. That's my, you know, okay. I just get a little excited about it sometimes. I'm telling you that so that you understand this. If you survive, if the seed, you got to get this. If the seed of God's word survives the attack of the enemy, that's an immediate attack. It comes and it comes and steals that first word of anything that's sown along the way. And he gets that seed. Well, he didn't get that seed on you. So that means that some of it survives to a place where it gets to the rocky places in your life. And if the word doesn't get caught in the rocky places, and it makes it to a place where there's a little bit of ground, but it's thorny ground. Thorny ground. And the word has survived it. You understand the word that got to the thorny ground survived the shallow places and the immediate attacks of the enemy and the little things that sprung up and you got some of it, but it went away. It survived all of that. So this it's a word that's gained some traction inside of you, but it's all the way to the place where it's at that place where it's trying to make a root inside of you. But there are other roots. There's other roots is what it says. And those roots will come up and choke that word out of you. And even though it survived attack one, attack two, but attack three, got it. It's still the word. It's still the word. It's still powerful because look at four. It makes it to the good soil. And if it makes it to the good soil, it was still powerful enough. See, the seed hasn't been diminished. The power of the seed is still going to produce after itself. It's still going to produce a crop in your life, 30, 60, 100-fold. That's an incredible thing. Are you seeing that? It's amazing to me, right before it gets to the soil, the thing that took it out was a root. A contending root. Let me tell you something about your heart. The Bible describes your heart as soil. And the only thing that a seed has to do is hit soil. That's really all that has to happen for that seed to start. Now, how deep it goes has some other things attached to it. But here's the thing about the soil. The soil doesn't care what seeds put in it. The soil doesn't care. You can put a good seed in the soil, and the soil will do its job. You put a bad seed in the soil, and the soil will do its job. It grew from someplace. It's your field. It's your soil. What did you let get in there? I'm just saying what it said. So here's the thing. Everything's trying to make a root. A good root will produce a good crop. That's the root that you want. A bad root will choke out the intentions of the good seed. How am I going to tie this into what I know God gave me? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is my new Bible. Its pages don't want to turn. I'm counting on you, Jonathan. It's me and you from here on out, okay? I love you, new Bible. That's my new goatskin Bible. I love you, goatskin Bible, but you are hard to turn on a Sunday. This, okay, help me out, Jonathan. I'll wait on. 1 Timothy 1:15. It's just a verse. It's just one verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. No. What in the world, Pastor John, are you pulling that scripture out for? I'm going to tell you in a minute. It's going to make sense. Romans 12:19. So get that one ready. Get Romans 12:19 ready now. Paul's writing this, and Paul's saying, I'm the chief among sinners. I am chief among sinners. I am chief. He did not say, I was chief. He said, I am chief. When we read Paul's story and his life, and then you put that against the standard of God's word, is that it's true. It has to be true. I was picking on you last week when I said that. I struggle with being beautiful my whole life, and y'all just laughed way too long on that one. It's not that you laughed too long on that one. I said, I struggle with being beautiful my whole life. That was, you know, funny. I was being silly, but I said a couple of things to get you going a certain way. But Moses said that, when you read what Moses said, and he was the meekest man in the world. You know who wrote that? Moses. So I told you my second little thing with that was I said you know, the thing that amazes me most about myself is my humility. Yeah, that was another little joke. But Moses said about Moses, and he was the meekest man in the world. You know what the truth is? He was. That didn't sound like a meek man speaking, because it sounds like he's kind of like putting himself on a pedestal. But he was just telling the truth. He was the meekest man in the world, or it wouldn't have been written down. So for Paul to say, I am chief of whom I am chief, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When you read Paul's story, you would wonder why God chose him. And I'll tell you why God chose him: because of sinners, he was chief. He was chief. Paul was as bad as you could be in the sin world. I mean, Paul was the guy that had Christians killed. You can't get worse than that. So go to Romans 12:19. Don't worry, I'm going to let you have chicken soon because we're almost done. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Paul is about as bad as you could be. He's also the one that wrote this: vengeance is mine, I will repay. Very interesting thing to me. A lot bounces around my mind when I think of this. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Paul went from a place in his life where he could have just about done anything when he was Saul. He could just about said anything he wanted to say. He was the most educated man around, and he was a religious man. And he wore all the hats. He was the smartest guy in the room. And he gave every bit of that up to follow Jesus Christ. And it wasn't without a price. And it wasn't without a cost. And things didn't get easy for him from that point forward. But he counted it worth letting Everything that every one of his accolades, he says, I count them as dung for the cause of Christ. Everything that I did, they didn't give him any honorary degrees. He worked for them. He applied himself. He studied for all of those things. But when he chose to follow Christ, or Christ called him from where he was, and he took the worst man that there was, the one who at Saul's feet, his name, just so you know, that one time Paul's name was Saul. God changed Saul's name to Paul. But when it was Saul, Saul was being as bad as you could be. And he was doing it thinking that he was doing his God a favor. They would kill Christians. They would take Christians. They would interrupt a meeting like this that they found Christians. What you're talking about, Sir Shirley? They'd interrupt it, and they'd come in. They'd find anybody, and they would want to get rid of them. So they would chase them out or scatter them and kill some of them to make their point. Paul, was chief, and he knew what he had done wrong. And he was our example of who Jesus is. That he could take the very worst and use the very worst to write about half of the New Testament. It's an amazing thing. So I want to bring that thing into this. And I want to push this into you. To the point that you bring that back up. Romans 12:19 for me. Keep that one up there. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do not avenge yourselves. This is Paul. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That reads pretty easy. But that is not an easy thing to say yes to. That's not an easy mantra for you to live by. That's not an easy couple of sentences right there. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'd say, yep, not easy. When you think about what I've preached to you over the last several weeks, about offense, and then I doubled down everything last week and talked about bitterness. Because that's the one that hides out. And the reason I can't preach a lot about bitterness is because it's hiding. It's not that I'm afraid of it, but it's hiding. It's a root. It's hidden. We saw that whole story of David and Bathsheba. Let me tell you this. That story was the plant. But Ahithophel's granddaughter being Bathsheba, that was the root. And when David slept with Bathsheba, and you know the rest of the story, if you don't read it, it's incredible. That's what rose up inside of Ahithophel. And vengeance is mine, I will repay, went right out the building for Ahithophel. Ahithophel, and I told you this last week, he wanted David bad so much, and his voice was like the voice of the Lord, and his counsel was such that whatever he said, they did. And when he gave the counsel, take 12,000 men and kill David tonight. And when that was overruled by Hushai's and God's frustrating Ahithophel's word, it said this, Ahithophel saddled his, when he found out they're not going to listen to me, this is where the pride of that bitterness and the root of that bitterness took it to. Ahithophel said, when he found out that they did not take his advice, he saddled his donkey, he went home, he said he set his house in order. In other words, he got all of his accounts ready. He put everything, dotted every I, crossed everything, every T for his home business. So he went home. He saddled his donkey. They did not. I have always given them the correct advice. I've been like the word of God to them. But it got messed up because Ahithophel wasn't hearing from God. Ahithophel was hearing from Ahithophel. And he was hearing from his deep-rooted bitterness. And he decided, if they won't take my advice, he went home. He got his affairs in order. And the Bible says this, and he hung himself. He would rather die than know that David lives and my hatred for him did not work. That's the depth of the root of bitterness. And it's got to be broken. And all I can tell you, I'm telling you, that would be the hardest thing to hurt my family. I'm like you are. My family means something to me. Your family means something to you. But you've got to decide, am I going to listen to what God? I'm telling you, there's some things that are that there's a root that's hidden. Somebody prayed with me after last week. I opened it up for everybody. One person prayed with me, and you know what they said? Everybody should have come down. Sorry, y'all. Everybody should have come down. You know what I wanted to say? Yeah, me too. Little roots that want to hang on. Little roots that nobody knows about. I know what you did. I know what you did. Do not, beloved, because look at that, look at it. Because I love you. Because I love you, do not avenge yourselves. But rather, give place to wrath. He said, let it happen. There's another place. He said, wouldn't it be better to be wronged, just to be wronged by somebody? I'm telling you, I talked about worship a minute ago, being a different level. That's a different level. You're not going to get that in anybody's book anywhere. Nobody's going to tell you something like that. Oh, it'd just be better to be wronged. Let me tell you how many books you would sell on that. One, if your mom would buy the book. You give it to her for a Christmas present. Nobody else in the world wants to hear that. I'm going to tell you, there's some things that are in God's Word nobody wants to hear. But few people have victory in those areas because only a few people heard what he said. And if you want victory, and if you want victory, and if you want victory over bitterness in your life, that's going to be where you find it right there. For it is written. How was Satan defeated? How was Satan defeated when he came to tempt Jesus? It is written. Mark those things in your Bible that say before it, for it is written. There's a lesson in that one for you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And how God does it is more effective than you would ever do it. Understanding that this, too, what God knows is that he gave his son's life even for that person. Even for that person. That whosoever will. You got to leave a room for mercy for somebody else. Why? Because you'll need it too. There'll be a situation where that mercy is for you. Amen. Say it again. Pastoral messages. Boy, aren't they fine. Man, aren't they fine. That's it. One more pastoral. At the end of the summer, y'all going to be like, I know the seasons change, Pastor John. We're getting into cooler weather. The kids are back in school. But can you preach us just one more of those pastoral messages that just fillets my heart back and exposes me? I know, this is like eating rutabagas as a child. When you wanted a lollipop for dinner, right? You wanted your dinner to start out with crackling plastic. Guess what I'm having for dinner? A big old lollipop. And you get that rutabaga. Root. How about that? Rutabaga is a root. It even sounds like root. I learned to love them. Now I love them. I'm telling you, I love them now. When I was a kid, if I was a kid that could look into the future and heard myself saying that, I'd looked at myself and said, boy, you got old. But I can't believe that's you. You're lying. There's no way that, well, maturity does something to you. Maturity does something to your taste buds. Maturity does something to what you can stomach. When I was a child, I could eat candy, 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 candy. Y'all could tell. It's residual. Right? This is just residual. I mean, come on. It's just residual. But now if I ate that much sugar, I'd throw up. But you could put one piece of that rutabaga in my mouth and I'd throw it up as a child. Now, can I get any more of them rutabagas? Any of the rutabagas still left? Cooked in butter? See, if you know how to make them right, slip in a little bacon grease. I know I'm not playing fair. Y'all ready to go eat, aren't you? Salt and pepper and a little more salt because we live in America, right? But there are things that will help you. And the Bible says this. He says, there are some of you that should be on meat by now, but you're still on milk. In other words, you should have matured, but you're still on the baby stuff. I know these aren't easy, but they're good and they'll help you. They're good and they'll help you, I said. These words are good and they'll help you. And I appreciate you coming. And I appreciate y'all coming out in the summertime. And I appreciate your ears and your attention and getting this word. And I know it's hitting you because when it said it defiles many, that throws all of us into the realm of possibility. And God wants to deal with it for you. I said he wants to deal with it for you. All you've got to do is say, yeah, Lord, let's get that shovel out with the spade end on it. And let's get to this root. Let's dig this thing out. Some of you have been letting me know, and I'm not saying that to say that you have to, but some of you have been letting me know these summertime messages, pastoral messages, are helping you. And that's because they're heavy on his word. They're heavy on his word. I've called them like offense, bitterness, of like the boundaries of your life. God will have posts in your life, and then he will align those posts with his truth. And he will say, stay on this side so you can operate in my kingdom where you'll be powerful. Outside of that, that's not your place. That's not your territory. This is an under the soil message. This is a root busting message. I need something that goes to the root. I need something that doesn't just come back every few months, every 6 weeks. I got a chemical that I spray on my little playground for my grandchildren in the backyard. But about every 6 weeks, here they come back again. I bought the poison that I put down. I bought 2.5 gallons of it. And I thought after the first application, what it did to it, I thought, golly, I only needed to buy the little pump bottle. Until I realized now, I've lived in that house long enough to know that 2.5-gallon bottle's almost done because that root keeps coming back. I've killed the little symptomatic startings, but I don't know how to kill the root of that thing, or certainly I would have by now. You got things that are trying to still spring up in your life. There's only one cure for it. There's only one thing that'll kill that stain and remove that stain. It's His blood. Washed us whiter than snow. I'm not going to delegitimize the thing and say, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. But He does. And He still says, it's mine. I know you want them to pay, but vengeance is mine. It may be that He still loves who you hate. Shouldn't have ended on a word that hard, but it's the truth. He may still love who you still hate. You see, that needs to be dealt with. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you love me. And I was that one that somebody hated, wanted to deal with me themselves, but God, you dealt with me instead. Thank you for that. Help me to realize that I'm the chief of sinners. I still have that propensity to be really bad. And Father, to know your word and know that your word has a plan for me, and to willingly veer away from your word, God, bring me back right now. Bring me back right now. Change my heart right now. I need my soil changed out, God. You made my soil so fertile, anything will grow in it. God, help me to be very careful to tend my garden so that the wrong seeds don't get out and that the good seeds take root. God, let your word and the seed of your word take root in my heart right now. Let the seed of your word that will survive the attacks of the enemy, the multiplied attacks of the enemy, that seed is still precious, or the enemy wouldn't be fighting it. Let it get in my soil now, God, so that it'll do what seed does when it hits dirt. It will begin to take root and grow inside of me. And a crop will be produced that glorifies you. Let it happen in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just like last week,